Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning and welcome to the show. Today I am very delighted to bring you Marie Paul Curley, Sister Marie Paul Curley, my friend Sister Paul, who is the author of the wonderful book Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer from the Daughters of St. Paul, Pauline Books and Media. So much to talk to you about with my friend. Sister Paul, you are welcome into our conversation at 573-4-BREAD-4. But before we go any further, we're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and learn more about you through this beautiful prayer, Soul of Christ. Lord, we ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to the message that you have deemed for us in this moment, that we might hear it, receive it, and act upon it. And we ask all this through your most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, without further ado, I invite to the show Sister Marie Paul Curley. Sister Paul, welcome.
Thank you so much, Allison. It's a delight to be able to share with you today.
It is so much fun to have you on. I have to fess up to the listeners that you are my friend.
Yes, we have many conversations. This is one of many.
And it's it's why I'm struggling to say I have to say your name so they'll know what book, the author on the book, but I know you. It's just Sister Paul. So it's That's wonderful. Right. It's so wonderful to have you here and to share you, because you're just such a delight. One of my favorite peeps in the whole wide world.
That's very sweet of you, Allison. And I admire the work that you do, and I admire very much the work that Breadbox Media is trying to do as well. So it's a real joy to be here. And to the listeners, too, I don't know who's listening today, but a special greeting to all of you, and you will be carried in my prayers throughout the day and throughout the week. So,
well, I feel such a very close kinship to the Daughters of St. Paul. Your charism to preach the gospel everywhere and whatever means not necessary, but available. And my whole heart for radio actually began in your chapel in Jamaica Plain, as I was there doing a holy hour, and the Lord just put on my heart that he was going to call me to this work, at which point I giggled, but...
We all respond in unique ways. Giggling is a good one.
I thought, really, Lord? You're crazy. Did you feel that way when God called you to become a religious sister?
Giggling was definitely not my response. I was actually quite young when I first discerned the call. I grew up in a really devout Catholic family, and from a large family, 12 kids in my family. So I'm right in the middle. Mm. And I actually had my life all planned out, starting somewhere in elementary school. I had planned out everything. I was already thinking about which college, and I was doing a newspaper route to save up, and I was going to have a career in medicine. And then in eighth grade, the Lord just opened up doors for me. I started to be able to let go. I think I needed to create a plan for my life. I like certainty and security. And so I was planning everything out, knowing the direction I was going. And then somehow in those junior high years or middle school years, we call them now, God really opened me up to listen to what he might be inviting me to, and really invited me to a deeper relationship with him. That's really where it all started, of course. And so so it was quite a surprise when I started visiting. I visited a couple of communities, but mostly to make retreat. I didn't really want to become a sister. I just wanted to have a deeper experience of God. And then and in the process, I started to wonder, really, is God calling me? I feel so drawn to deepening my relationship with him in a very exclusive way, mm-hmm. And so I finally, it's interesting. My family has had a long relationship with the Daughters of St. Paul. We've known them since I was a little kid. And one of my sisters had gone for a discernment retreat. One of my younger sisters, I should say. Mm. And she's 2 years younger than me. And she went to the discernment retreat and came back saying, "Oh, religious life is not for me. I do not want to go, I don't want to enter the Daughters of St. Paul, but you should visit." And I was,
She's just trying to get rid of you to get your room?
Yeah, she wanted a whole bedroom to herself. She shared at that point. I think she was really doing it out of the goodness of her heart. And she had been seeing my spiritual journey and realized that. And I, at the time, the Daughters of St. Paul had a high school program for those discerning. And so we don't have that anymore because really to discern nowadays, it really requires a good bit of maturity. And young people grow up fast in other ways now, but they're immature in other ways that they need more time to discern their vocation. But at the time, we had a high school program. So she was looking at going to a Catholic high school. So when I was like, "That's my little sister. I'm not going to pay any attention to her." And I let that sit for a whole year. Wow. And they kept calling and inviting her or sending her letters. And finally, she just tossed them aside. And finally, one day I picked one up and I said to my mom, "Do you think they'd mind if I answered?" My mom was like, "Oh, why not give it a try?" So I did. And the sisters were like, "Sure, you can come and visit." And it was... there were a lot of little steps in those visits and discerning. But I remember very clearly the decision to ask to enter and to apply to the Daughters of St. Paul, and also to ask my parents if they would allow me to enter because I was under 18. I was still in high school. Mm. And I remember the tremendous, first of all, it happened in the chapel. In the same chapel where you prayed.
That's a pretty powerful place, I'm telling you.
It's a holy place.
Very holy place.
Any listeners in the New England area, we love to have visitors. So, give us a call and you can come and visit our chapel.
Especially if you're discerning something, anything. I can't tell you the clarity that I received sitting in that chapel. Just really is a very holy place.
There's a lot of holy history there. We have a lot of holy women who pray there, especially our senior sisters and our novices. They've got that special, real, really beautiful connection with the Divine Master, I think because they're so open and vulnerable with Him when they pray. And the rest of us run around. We're sisters, so we spend a lot of time praying but we're also doing a lot of things. Whereas I think as a novice and as one of our senior sisters, there's that special dependence on God that I think God finds so precious. And of course, if they're going to ask for anything, He just grants it. So, so I have a direct prayer line. People come to me and I'm like, "Oh no, I'm not the person to ask. But I know who to ask. I'll get that prayer intention in front of the Lord for you."
Oh, it's such a grace.
Yeah. So that chapel is a very special place. And I remember the tremendous joy that I received in thinking that it wasn't so much at that point that I knew God was calling me, but that He might be calling me. It was like, "Oh, wow." It just seemed like this glorious adventure that the Lord was inviting me to walk with Him or run or jump. I wasn't sure what direction it was going to go. But it happened really by, really paying attention to Mass for the first time when I was visiting the sisters, like really paying close attention and then doing Eucharistic adoration every day. It was just such a gift.
And I didn't know many sisters. I didn't know any religious sisters growing up. The Daughters of St. Paul were really my first introduction to, so I think that I'm kind of skewed a little bit and why I'm so drawn to you. And we share the same charism, but it was the first time seeing sisterhood as an adventure. You all truly live it as an adventure. It's this beautiful call that I don't think a lot of people on the outside understand, that this is something that is so exciting and it's just something that you grasp at and enjoy. And it's not the way I pictured sisterhood, which would be, boring prayer, just people who can't get married join the convent. That's not it at all.
Not at all. That is so not my experience. I will say that it is very much when you let the Lord take the lead in your life, then it's never boring. It's it's never dull. It becomes an adventure. And I think that's really the blessing of religious life in many ways. You know, people come up to me and say, "Sister, you gave up so much, and you know, we admire you so much." And I'm like, no, it's the Lord at work in me. And it's that the Lord at work in my life that gives me the joy, you know, to live this life.
And you actually blog about discerning a vocation. What is that blog title?
The name of that blog is coauthoryourlifewithgod.com. So co-author because it's a partnership in discerning with God, because God wants us to be free. That's very important to the Lord, that we love, you know, that when we love, we're loving with our whole heart. And that's only comes from a free heart. But that God also knows what's best for us. He has a plan for us. And his plan is actually absolutely the best for us, because he is all wise, omnipotent. He knows our hearts better than we do. He knows what we need. And so, so I like to blog about it from that perspective, you know, that we write our life with God.
And it's so not boring. So go to coauthoryourlife.com with Sister Marie Paul Curley, who is going to continue with us right after these messages, talking about her book, Soul of Christ. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Sister Marie Paul Curley. She is the author of Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer from Pauline Books and Media. And I think we'll just dive right into the book today, Sister Paul. I'm so sad that yesterday's show, sometimes the gremlins just get into our technology and decided to not record yesterday's program. So maybe at some point I'll have to just get out there and just make a podcast about, because I just this book, and I shared so much yesterday that I was hoping we could like pick up from, but instead we're going to have to backtrack so that people don't miss anything. I think that's important from this book, which of course is the whole thing. I said yesterday I should have just dipped it into highlighter fluid, because pretty much the whole thing is highlighted.
It is. It's such a beautiful prayer. I would have loved to have heard your uncensored thoughts about the book. We've chatted a couple of times, but I would love to hear more. So hopefully we can, you know, unpack it a little bit now. And it's just the Soul of Christ, the Anima Christi prayer, is so rich that it really can carry your prayer, especially in difficult moments, you know, but it's a wonderful way to pray.
And I love how you call the introduction of the book. You actually named it an invitation. Why that distinction?
Because I feel that really the Lord invites us into relationship with himself. Mm-hmm. Like we tend to think, oh, I make a decision. Like, you know, Lent is coming up, right? So we'll say it's for Lent, or I'm going to be more loving, and we put the emphasis on ourselves, mm-hmm. which, you know, we do need to exercise our free will. That's very important, and make good choices. And God, you know, but the point is that God calls us to that. And especially when it comes to our relationship with the Lord always takes the initiative. Well, first of all, he created us, and then he sustains us in being, but he loves us into existence. And then he lovingly invites us to live that existence in union with him. And so the gift of our life is an invitation. And this prayer allows us, I think, to enter into that invitation a little more deeply. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to say this is an introduction. No, because I really felt like God was God is at work there. If we really, even if we pray it with the teensiest bit of goodwill, I think that God can work through that. You know, God can work through this.
And I'd like to, at this time, look at how the praying this in the invitation you shared, how praying this daily really shaped your own life, your own spirituality, and profoundly helped you. And you had a list. I mentioned yesterday how much I love lists and bullet points. As a woman with ADHD, whenever a publisher puts a little bit of bullet points there or sets things apart, it's so helpful than just words on a page. So you started by saying that it helped nurture and foster your personal relationship with Christ. How does a prayer like the Anima Christi, the Soul of Christ prayer, nurture our relationship with Christ?
I think the wording of the prayer is so personal. I mean, we start off with the first line of the prayer is, you know, Soul of Christ, sanctify me. We are calling on Jesus' soul, like, which is the heart of the person, right? That's the essence of the person. If you want to, you know, we're kind of speaking soul to soul to Jesus right in the very first line. So it's so personal. It doesn't allow us to keep a distance between ourselves and God, you know? And I think that's a mistake we make sometimes. We hold out our hands and we're like, God, I love you and I want to do your will, but I'll only go so far. You know, we set these boundaries or these limits, and God doesn't want those limits with us. He wants to be in a part of every part of our life. You know, he's not afraid of the places where we are broken and sinful. Mm-hmm. He wants to be there especially, you know, because he loves to be needed. God wants to be needed. He wants to bless us and save us. That's what the year of mercy is all about, right? That God's mercy is constantly saving us. And so I think that, you know, so Soul of Christ is just a very intimate way to call on the Lord. And then to ask for sanctification, in the depths of our soul, to ask for holiness, which, what is holiness? It's sharing in the life of God. You know, it's you can talk about holiness as being set apart, but it's being set apart from the mundane and being united to God for the purpose of being united to God. So it's really, the whole prayer is very intimate in terms of our relationship with God, but that first line, it draws you right in. And it allowed me to get away from some of the formality that I used to pray with, you know, because that's how you learn to pray, right? You memorize prayers as a child. And, you know, and even when I entered the convent, there was a lot of structured prayer. We have, as a postulant, we had about 2 hours of prayer a day as a perpetually professed sister. I am blessed to be able to pray 3 hours a day.
Wow. That is quite a grace. What a beautiful.
It's huge. But that praying personally is so important. Not just trying to keep God at arm's length, you know, but inviting him in.
And it really is, like, you can never, I say this over and over again, like a broken record, but it's something I just never thought of when I was younger, that you cannot have a relationship with God if you don't put anything into it. You know, it is a relationship like any other that we create here on earth. If we don't put any effort into, if we don't spend any time with that friendship or that friend, there's not going to be, there's not going to be a friendship. There's just not going to be anything there between you.
Yes, we need to take that time. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, making time for our loved ones and spending quality time with our loved ones. Well, God is the first loved one. I mean, he's our creator. And our Redeemer and the Sanctifier, you know, he's Father, Son, and Spirit for us. And so spending that quality time, it's not about quantity. I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, sister, 3 hours of prayer a day. You know? Well, you know what? I have 3 hours of prayer a day because I am so weak. I actually need that to be able to live, you know, my vocation. But other people, you know, it's the quality. It's really connecting with the Lord on a daily basis or as often as we can.
I think even just 15 minutes. You know, I talk about, you know, if you put something on your calendar and you make an appointment, you know, to see the doctor or, you know, to bring your child to dance lessons or whatever, you never miss those appointments. It's not like you look at it and think of it as optional. Oh, look, I made a doctor's appointment. I may or may not show up. You know that if it's on your calendar, it's something that you're, you know, need to keep. It's important for your health or whatever. So I always say put your time with God on your calendar if that's what you need to make that appointment, to make that time. And it can be 5, 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be. But if you're blessed to go do an adoration hour and give God a whole hour, then by all means, put that on your calendar as well.
You know, I think of my prayer now as us time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, it's time that I'm giving to God for sure, but it's also time that I'm giving to myself. Because there's nobody who is more loving or who is more giving in my encounters with him. You just can't compare it when you really enter into prayer and you're really open to how the Lord wishes to speak with us. And he does speak with us, even though sometimes it takes us a while to figure out, oh, that's God speaking to me. I started really focusing on my prayer life in a very concentrated way when I entered the convent, and I was going on 16 years old. So it's not like I was really mature or really, you know, brilliant or really able to like sit down for hours on end. Like I had to learn little by little, step by step. And, you know, that's all that the Lord wants. He just wants to spend time with his loved one, which is you. You know,
one of the last thing on this list here kind of surprised me, and I'd love to know more about your thoughts on it. So you said that the Soul of Christ prayer helped unite the desires of my heart to the desires of Jesus, that I may be so transformed that I can say with St. Paul, for to me, living is Christ.
Wow, that's like the whole prayer wrapped up in a sentence. I wrote that, huh?
You sure did.
You know, one of the reasons I love this prayer, and actually I was thinking about this the other day when I was praying it again. I pray the Soul of Christ prayer daily. Is that it puts our hearts in sync with God, with the desires of God's heart for us. Like, God wants our greatest happiness. And God also knows that being united with him is what will give us our greatest happiness. Mm. And so when we pray, Soul of Christ, sanctify me, body of Christ, save me, blood of Christ, inebriate me, you know, water from the side of Christ, wash me. When we're praying these petitions to be healed and renewed and drawn closer to the Lord, then we are actually, we're praying for ourselves, but we're also taking on God's desire for us. And so we're being more and more united with the Lord when we pray this prayer. It puts our hearts in sync with Jesus' heart.
That's kind of a miraculous, awesome thing. Just to have our hearts aligned with Jesus' heart. And it's amazing because those desires that are on your heart are put there by God. When we pray and spend time with there, it's not like they change. They're just, I think, to me, more illuminated. I actually get to understand them and see how God is going to bring them to fruition. He's such a good and gracious God. We're talking this morning with Sister Marie Paul Curley, her wonderful book, Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer. This is out from Pauline Books and Media. If you'd like to join our conversation, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We'll be right back with more with Sister Paul here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Thank you.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Sister Marie Paul Curley. She's from the Daughters of St. Paul, and her book, Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer, is out from Pauline Books and Media. When I first got it, I actually took it with me on a trip, and I've read most of it on an airplane. There's just something about the hum of an airplane that just helps me to get really into a nice, deep place of prayer. And I noticed that I had made lots of underlines and comments, and I'm like just trying to figure out what I want to talk to you about. It's impossible because I want to talk to you about all of it. But I think to start off with, I'd like to talk about the format of the book. It's got kind of a special formula to it.
And that format changed several times. It was a fruit of much prayer, actually. I think the obvious, format is that every chapter basically centers around one of the petitions of the prayer. Allison, everybody would be familiar with the prayer who's listening, right? I mean, should we take a moment to stop and pray the whole prayer in case
I don't think that could hurt at all. Would you like to pray it for us?
Let's pray it. Yeah, let's pray it and pray it. It's a personal prayer. It talks about me, but maybe we could say us for this.
I'll let you do it by yourself, but you can say us if you'd like.
I will, because I'll be praying it for the two of us but for all the listeners. Soul of Christ, sanctify us. Body of Christ, save us. Blood of Christ, inebriate us. Water from the side of Christ, wash us. Passion of Christ, strengthen us. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide us. Permit us not to be separated from you. From the malignant enemy, defend us. In the hour of our deaths, call us and bid us come to you, that with your saints we may praise you forever and ever. Amen.
So beautiful. My daughter actually loves to have me sign this to her after she receives communion. Faith is 10, and she's really not interested in the music, being deaf, and I will sign the music for her, but every once in a while she'll just kind of wave her hand at me and say, okay, enough, I'm just going to sit here and pray. But my husband prays this after he receives, and she noticed him pulling out the missal and reading, and she's asked what he was doing. So we've gotten to the habit of signing this after she receives communion. It's like a little special prayer her and I do over on the side. So it's
that's so beautiful.
So praying
the prayer after communion is a very traditional way to pray the prayer. I know that's how my mom used to pray it, and I know a lot of people are familiar with praying this prayer after communion. And just to touch back on that theme of transformation, putting our heart in sync with God's, which we kind of wrapped up the last segment with, that transformation in Christ, like living Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection with him, that's the whole mystery of being a Christian. That's our whole Christian life. So in many ways, this prayer captures our entire relationship with Christ and puts it into, 12 petitions, and I think that's one of the riches of this prayer, that it can do that. And so, when I was first contemplating writing this book, it became an obvious choice. Well, I'll take a chapter with each petition because mm-hmm. each petition is so rich, even though it's only, 12 words, 13, 15 words. Eight words. It's so rich. I could write a whole chapter about it. The part that I had to really, the first chapter is like a phrase by phrase. So like the first part of chapter one is Soul of Christ. And I kind of explore what does that mean and how do we pray that? And then it goes into Sanctify Me for the next part. So it's really a phrase by phrase exploration. But the second part of the chapter is what I wasn't sure what to do with, and I waffled back and forth. I wrote it two different ways. This is one of the first books I've had to completely revise from beginning to end, just the second half of every chapter. And that's because I wanted to put the petitions in the light of sacred scripture, because sacred scripture has a special, you know, it's the very word of God. It has a special power to touch us and transform us. And since this prayer is all about being transformed in Christ, of truly learning how to live a Eucharistic life, I wanted to bring in a scripture with each petition. And well, first I had to go through the process of what scripture passage best fits each petition. That was impossible. That was like just so fun. And
I was going to say, I bet that was a blast though. I love those kind of
books. It was so good. But then it was okay. So how do I want to write this second part of the chapter? What would I really need? Mm. Would I need it to be in the form of a prayer, or would I want it to be something that I would just continue to read and maybe bring to prayer afterwards? And so the first time I wrote it, I made it into an hour of adoration because, you know, the prayer's connection with the Eucharist was so strong that I thought that's the perfect fit. But then afterwards I was like, oh, but if somebody doesn't regularly make adoration, then maybe that part of the chapter becomes inaccessible to them. So then I rewrote it as as a reflection only. And then I was praying with it again. See, this is where I know that I need to grow in discernment, because I discerned this 3 times and I got the same answer twice, but that wasn't what was important. The important thing was I really had peace the last time. And I rewrote it as an hour of adoration so that you can still just read it as spiritual reading. But if you do make Eucharistic adoration, or if you're interested in starting to make Eucharistic adoration, then there's a whole little outline for how you can pray the second half of the chapter as an entire hour of adoration. I even put in suggested hymns. And online, what I did was I put together a little group guide. So if anybody wants to make the hour of adoration as a group, all the prayers that you'd pray are available as a download. Print out as many copies as you need. So not everybody needs to have a copy of the book. So I think that, and for me, it's so important to bring people back to Jesus in the Eucharist. You know, I need him so desperately. And, you know, and I have it pretty good in terms of my life. You know, I'm in a wonderful dynamic relationship with the Lord. I'm surrounded by sisters who share, you know, this purpose of giving ourselves in love to the Lord and to the world, you know, to bring the world more hope and more joy through communications media. I have this wonderful spirituality of, you know, living in Christ and hiding in Christ and breathing in Christ. And, and I have the gift of doing what I love every day. I'm so, so blessed. And yet I need this Eucharistic Jesus. I need my relationship with Jesus, but somehow going and praying before Jesus in the Eucharist is so powerful for me. It's like sitting in the sun, you know, it just like we need to sit in the sun and absorb the sun's rays, especially on a snowy day like today where there's no sun in sight. When we need the sun, we need the Eucharist. We need the Son of God to shine on us with his love and his mercy and enable us to discover who we are in him, you know, to discern that invitation that he gives to us every day.
It is such a gift that the Catholic faith has that offers the Eucharist, to be able to really have that experience of heaven and earth colliding. You know, when we're sitting in adoration, I'm sure you've had this experience. You just know that you're not alone. You just know that there's this mystical body of Christ that surrounds us. You know, the power of being in the presence of the Eucharist, whether it's out in the monstrance or, you know, in the tabernacle, is when Jesus is present, he's present. And it's such an incredible gift. In fact, Fridays are my holy day, the day that I get to go do a holy hour, my holy day. I make my own holy day of obligation. Like, just make these things up. And of course, the snowstorm adoration. But our pastor is such a wonderful, holy man. He wrote on our Facebook wall that he would leave the church open for anyone who was able to get to the church, who really wanted to spend some time with Christ, that he would make, you know, the church available. So just understanding that it doesn't have to be specifically, you know, Jesus out in the monstrance for an adoration hour, but that anytime Jesus is present in the Eucharist and there, it's just a beautiful experience that we get to partake in. If you can't get to one, I found that using that as a holy hour for myself at home, you know, that rare hour when the kids are all gone and you can, you know, spend that time in prayer, it was really fruitful as well. It was beautiful.
Well, you know, that's occasionally, you know, if I'm traveling or I'm out on mission or for whatever reason, and I can't get to a chapel for my hour of adoration, I always miss it. But I do make it. And, you know, from a distance, I just call it, you know, it's long distance Eucharistic adoration. But there's always the gift of spiritual communion as well. Mm. You know, that's, you know, asking, inviting Jesus to come into our hearts in a spiritual way because we cannot receive him physically in the Eucharist in Holy Communion. And, you know, I think adoration works on the same principle that you say, I'm doing adoration. I'm adoring you in the nearest church. I'm, you know, sometimes actually I'll be like, okay, where's the nearest church? Is it north, south, east, or west? And I'll, you know, point my chair in that direction. And pray really to Jesus, because that gift of his presence in the Eucharist is it, you know, he's so near to us. He's there, body and blood and soul and divinity. And that's a great gift for those of us who need, you know, if we're having a dark moment where we're struggling with faith or we're bothered by, you know, by something physical in our lives, that, you know, the Eucharist is a gift that reminds us that Jesus is with us in a very tangible, physically tangible way.
Amen. And I will actually put in the show notes, I have a link to where you can go to virtual adoration online. We're talking this morning with Sister Marie Paul Curley, the author of Soul of Christ, out from Pauline Books and Media. We'll be right back with her right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Don't go away.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by author Sister Marie Paul Curley. The book is Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer from Pauline Books and Media. Before we get back into Soul of Christ, I'd like to talk for a minute about a wonderful retreat, online retreat, that the Daughter of Pauline Books and Media are offering. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I'd love to. And you know a lot about it because you to create it. Actually, we both did. So that's kind of very exciting to talk about it here. The retreat is called Seven Qualities of Mercy, Become a More Merciful You. Mm-hmm. And what it is it's an online, really mini retreat. It's something that you can do in just a couple minutes a day. And then when you're inspired, you can take some longer time with it. But it's really to focus in this year of mercy on God's mercy in your life, how God's mercy touches you and transforms you so that you can receive his mercy more fully and so that you can become more merciful. And it does this by every week. It's a 7-week mini retreat. And so for 7 weeks, you get a daily email that focuses on a particular aspect of mercy. So mercy has, you know, these seven qualities or aspects to it. And you look at it through the eyes of a personal reflection or a testimony or a life of the saint, or I love the artistic and cultural connections. Those are really, really wonderful. And then there's always a mercy challenge and a prayer that's included as well. So it's really meant, you know, we talk about retreats as spiritual exercises. This is very much a mini spiritual exercise because it's engaging us in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives of how we can live mercy and how we can let mercy, you know, let God's mercy really change us and transform us. Allison, you did one lovely reflection out of, you know, it was so many pieces, so many wonderful people have helped put this together. The mini retreat came out of a brainstorming that a group of us sisters here at Pauline Books and Media at the publishing house, we wanted to do something special for the Year of Mercy. And so this is what we came up with as our first choice. And then it was inviting collaborators to write so that we have different voices for every day of Lent. And it's a beautiful, beautiful retreat that really responds to Pope Francis' invitation to let us be renewed by God's mercy.
I was absolutely like drop my jaw onto my desk, floored when I got the email asking if I would be interested in collaborating and writing just a few reflections, a very small part in this wonderful retreat. But I'm just over the moon, overjoyed that I even would have come up as a recommendation. It was just wonderful. And I can't wait to see the whole thing in its entirety. I'm going to be doing it right along with everybody else during Lent, be blogging about it, of course, sharing all it on social media. In fact, today, my blog on reconciledtoyou.com is all about, please, 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 I beg people, don't leave social media during Lent. And you can find out more if you go visit reconciledtoyou.com. And I give you all the information and the link to this. It's on lightalongtheway.com. That's lightalongtheway.com. Or you can go to pauline.org and find the link there. This wonderful Seven Qualities of Mercy, this online mini retreat from Pauline Books and Media. So excited to be a part of this.
Well, thank you for collaborating with us on it. As I said, it's been the fruit of a great deal of prayer. And I know the sisters are going to be accompanying the retreatants with their prayers in a very special way. So it's just, yeah, it's exciting to see what God wants to do with us during this year of mercy.
It's exciting. Oh, so exciting. Well, we're talking today, we'll get back a little bit with the little time that we have left, about Soul of Christ, Meditations on a Timeless Prayer, again with Sister Paul from Pauline Books and Media. And like I said, I didn't, yesterday's show, for some reason, whatever, got erased. So I am going to redo a podcast. We'll talk a lot more about what the meat in the book is. Maybe I can convince Sister Paul to do that with me. But as I just think, like, what? No, stop. I don't have time for your thoughts, woman.
I would love to. That would be a lot of fun.
It's just such a rich and beautiful book, and a prayer that me, a lifelong Catholic, really never started to pray until my little girl said, what is this dad's praying? And can you sign it for me? Because she can't read, so I'd have to sign it for her. And just, you know, one of the things I really need to ask you about is the line, blood of Christ, inebriate me. You should see me trying to sign that one. What is that? What does that mean? Why is that in there?
Oh, it's so, for me, it's so, it's such a powerful line. You know, sometimes it's about going against the grain of, you know, our tendency to keep God at arm's length. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we ask for, you know, Jesus' blood to inebriate us, we're saying we want to be drunk on love. You know, we want to be, you know, inebriated can mean, you know, like literally drunk, but it also can mean that we are so overflowing, so full to overflowing with joy and with a fullness of what we've received. And really, you know, when we really fall in love, if we're really in love, it does fill up our life, you know, to overflowing. And that's what we want, you know, the love of Christ to do, you know. And I mean, you can get a lot more, you know, specific with the Christ's blood for us. You know, he shed his blood for us. He shed it down to the last drop. So we're asking to be flooded with his love. And he is giving it completely away to us on Calvary. And he, you know, he re-offers himself with that same love at every Mass for us. That's Jesus' stance with us, is to love us to the point of death. And so I think it's just tapping into that, you know, there's nothing half-hearted about God's love for us, you know. And it's praying this petition is like a little bit saying, okay, I'm good with that. I can go a little more wholehearted, you know. I can say yes a little bit more. I have this story about kids are great because they throw themselves into things so fully. And a friend of mine knew a little boy who was making his first communion, and she was helping prepare. She was his godmother, so she was checking that he was really prepared. And she, at one point, he was really excited and very well prepared. And so she was kind of wrapping it up. She's like, okay, well, I'll see you next week at your first communion. And, you know, little Danny said to her, well, do you think the TV cameras will be there? And she said, the clueless godmother says, I don't know. Like, why would the TV cameras be there? And little Danny said, well, I'm receiving Jesus for the first time. This is the most important day of my life until I get married.
It's big news.
It's huge news. And this is a 7-year-old boy who really gets what it means to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And, you know, if we could approach, you know, the Eucharist with just a tenth of that wonder or a millionth of that wonder every day, because God gives himself to us so fully every day like that.
Oh, beautiful story.
Really, really powerful.
So if I've asked you about all my favorite ones or my questions about the petitions, do you have a specific petition that you're kind of drawn to more than maybe the others?
Ooh. Oh, that's not fair.
I know.
This is a tough question.
I'm not known for my tough hitting questions. I usually lob softballs.
You know, it depends week to week. Sometimes one petition will really stand out for me. Right now, you're going to laugh, but you know how sometimes you pull a muscle and then you're carrying around for the rest of the week or 2 weeks or a month, and you're like reminded constantly that you're in a little more pain than you usually are. I have moments like that, which is this week, I like really praying with Body of Christ, save me. It reminds me that Jesus has a physical body and he took that physical body. You know, we tend to think of our human limitations as being bad things, but Jesus took all of them on completely. He became, you know, he took on everything that we go through with human nature, except sin, which actually isn't human nature, right? That's fallen human nature. He took on all of that for us. And so I love being reminded that if I have an ache or a pain, you know what? A, Jesus is with me in that. B, it's something I can offer to Jesus in union with what he, you know, his sufferings on earth. It just, it gives meaning to even a, you know, twisted ankle or a sore back. And, you know, so that's where I am this week. My prayer is not really all that elevated. It's really in the day to day, you know. And next week it'll be a different petition.
Well, Sister Paul, it has been such a pleasure spending this morning with you. I cannot believe we're already at the end of our time with you. Can you tell us where we can keep up with you and find out what you're working on now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You could always visit right now the most active on my discernment blog, which is coauthoryourlifewithgod.com. Just run it all together. You can also visit my author page at pauline.org. That's Pauline as in the Pauline letters, pauline.org/Marie Paul Curley. And I try to keep that updated as well to let people know what's happening. And if they have questions or if we want to connect, you can easily do it with me there. Well, and I would love to hear from people, too. I really, really enjoy sharing the faith and the joy that Jesus has gifted me with.
We're so grateful that you spent the time with us this morning and that you always keep us in your prayers. You also don't forget to go to lightalongtheway.com for the 7 qualities of mercy. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Join us Monday when my guest will be Sarah Reinhart.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.